add my welcome to Tom's this morning. My name's Tim. I'm part of the team here, and it's great to have you with us this morning. And it really matters that you're with us as well, and we're glad that you've just carved out some time today just to sit and reflect and hear what God has to say as well. I mean, none of us could have expected what was going to happen a year ago. Unwelcome changes, unexpected challenges, and maybe even missed opportunities that we thought we would have, but somehow that door was closed for us as well. But it is good to know, and I'm so encouraged to know that you've been striving to continue to live this worthy life, even in these circumstances, maybe especially in these circumstances. You've been desiring to live a life that pleases the Lord. And I think that text that we've had at the beginning of this year has been such an important word for us as a congregation, as a people who are engaging online today as well. And you've kept going, and you've risen to the challenges that you've had to face. And you've kept connected to God, and kept connected to one another, and kept connected to your neighbor as well. So thank you for all that you have done, and please continue to do that. But this has been a year when we've had to let go of things, had to let go of some of our plans, had to let go of some of the complexity in our lives, and we've had to learn new ways of doing things. But it leaves us with a real question, I think, that we have to face up now. What are we going to take back in? What are we going to pick back up? You know, having let go of everything, what is our life going to look like when we come out of this lockdown to whatever it's going to look like at that particular time? Will our lives actually be simpler from now on? You know, in our Lent series, we've been thinking about eliminating hurry. And we've been looking at this book from John Mark Comer called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And if you've had a chance to read it, or you're keeping up with it each week, then I hope that you found that really useful. But of course, a book is only a set of ideas. I mean, it's up to us to put it into practice. And so in this series, we've looked at the problem of hurry, we've looked at the solution of hurry. And Tom and Claire and Pauline have really helped us to wrestle with how can we deal with this hurry that does infiltrate our lives. And we've looked at some practices as well. We've looked at the practice of silence and solitude. And last week, Pauline looked at the idea of Sabbath. And today I want to look at this practice of simplicity. I hope you'll catch up with what has been going on as well, and I hope that you'll continue to engage in some of these things. But you see, this is good news. It's good news that there is a way out of the hurry that does dominate our life. The hurry that can so squeeze us into its mold rather than us being able to allow God to transform our minds. And one of the ways he transforms us is by us putting in these practices, these disciplines, these habits that actually help us to step away from that hurry and to step closer towards God's purposes and his plans for our lives as well. Your hurry damages the soul. We said that right at the very beginning. And so how are we going to restore our soul? And these practices are one way that we can do it. And I hope that you'll continue to dig into those things. But today I want to talk about the practice of simplicity. Maybe not one of the more obvious practices, but I think a very helpful practice for this particular era that we live in, and particularly as we come out of lockdown together. So if you've got your Bibles, you'd like to turn to Luke chapter 12, then we're going to read a few verses from here this morning. Luke chapter 12, and starting at verse 13. Luke chapter 12 and verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. Now, the context for our reading today is that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And I hope that you'll join us in a couple of weeks' time when we celebrate Easter together, because that's the culmination of the journey that he's on at this particular time. I need to tell you as well that it is a great ending to this story, but please wait, and we'll tell you that in a couple of weeks' time. But what Jesus is doing as he's making this journey is he's beginning to show us a new way of living. He's beginning to give us a vision of the sort of life that we could live, that we could have in terms of our relationship with God and how we live here and now. That's the beauty of Jesus. He was real. He embedded all that he had to say in our real lives, not only for 2,000 years ago, but for now as well. He showed us this is a new way, something you can live for, something you can live and die for, and this is the practices that you can embed in your life. I'm guessing during this lockdown period, if like me, you've gone on YouTube a few times to learn some new skills. You know, you've had gardening tips, or you've had knitting tips, or crochet tips, or even learning a new language tips, lots of things, and we've learned new things to do. And this is the beauty of what Jesus has to share with us. The Gospels are an opportunity for us to get a glimpse on how to live life to the full, because that's the offer Jesus gave to us. Here's the most important lesson of all from the most important person the world has ever known. And we would do well to learn from him in order to live life to the full. And here in Luke chapter 12, there's no holding back for Jesus. He often said things that would cut straight to the heart of the real things that were going on deeper in people's lives. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 1, it tells us that a crowd of many thousands had gathered. Well, maybe one day soon we'll be able to be in that same place, but many thousands had gathered. And note what it says, so that they were trampling on one another. Goodness me, chaos. But people were so desperate to get to hear what Jesus had to say. Now, this is one of the one another's in the Bible that I don't recommend that we put into practice, trampling on one another. I'm sure we can do better than that. But then someone in the crowd demands this. Luke chapter 12, verse 13 from our reading. Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. In other words, endorse my greed. I want what he's got. Tell him to divide it with me. Now, I don't know whether you've ever thought that in your life. I want what they've got. But here Jesus confronts this attitude with this particular person in this vast crowd as he cries out through the din of the crowd. Jesus gets to the heart of the matter that I think is something that we need to deal with as well. A glimpse into our own hearts, perhaps. I want more than I've got right now. In fact, I want what they've got. Now, you may never have said that out loud, but my guess is that most of us have thought it, that we've had that feeling. We laugh at it when kids do it, and kids do it all the time, don't they? They're not interested in their own toys. They want what the other child has got, because that looks much better and much more exciting than what they've got. But all too often, I think we can fail to see this same attitude in ourselves. I want more. And Jesus calls it for exactly what it is. Verse 15 of Luke 12. Watch out, Jesus says. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Ouch. Watch out, he says. be on your guard. You know, the Greek word used for watch out is not only to see it with our eyes, but to understand what is happening in our spirits when that attitude happens. If you don't deal with the issue, Jesus says, something serious is going to go on inside. Be on your guard. It's a double warning. Watch out, be on your guard. Jesus can't stress this enough. And the word in be on your guard means to exercise unbroken vigilance like a military guard. In other words, keep an eye on your enemies. Keep an eye on this enemy, Jesus says, because this has the capability to crush our souls. As a shepherd would keep an eye on its flock because their life depends on it. Give constant attention to this particular issue, Jesus says. Greed, possessions, getting rid of what you have to replace it with bigger barns, the newest model, the latest version, the latest edition, the latest fashion. Jesus says this has the capability of shrinking our souls, of damaging our hearts, of damaging our connection to God. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Well, there's no harm in doing all those three things. But if it's as a result of our greed and our possessions, then there's something going wrong. See, this guy who shouted out in this crowd is saying, this is all about me. And Jesus says, watch out. There's a healthy way of living that you need to discover. Verse 20 of our reading, Jesus says these words, you fool, you have failed to understand the impact of what it is that you're saying. This very night. It's a stark warning, isn't it? We often sort of avoid these sayings of Jesus because they sort of grind in us, because we know that there's some disconnection with what he's saying and perhaps how we're living or how we're thinking. But Jesus is saying, do you know what? There's a better life. There's a good life. There's a real life out there, and it's not found in more. Simplify your life, Jesus is saying. Don't complicate it with this attitude of more. There's a new way. There's a different way that you can follow, and it's wrapped up in who Jesus is. See, I think most of us know that, but we seem powerless to be able to do anything about it. And so we need a change of mind. We need to consider simplicity as a habit, as a practice, as a discipline that pushes us against the pressure that we face from the world around us. This is not a virtue. It's not of eternal value in and of itself, but it is a practice that Jesus invites us to follow. If you've got your Bible still and you've still got Luke chapter 12 open, have a look what he says after this particular incident. Luke chapter 12, verse 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. See, Jesus is pointing to a different attitude of the heart, an attitude of simplicity. One that is stripping away all of these external pressures and saying, let's get back to the heart of what this relationship is all about. Do not worry, for life is more than food and the body more than clothes. See, simplicity is not a set of rules. I'm glad it's not a set of rules. It means you can have more than four pairs of shoes, which is great for most of us. He's not laying down any particular standard for what you can have in your life. But it is an expression of a relationship. And when we simplify our life, when we move to this place of simplicity, then actually we can build this relationship that Jesus longs for us to have with him. To strip away what gets our attention, to take away what gets in the way, and to stop hurrying about this issue. See, simplicity, we need to say, is an attitude of Jesus. He didn't avoid having great meals. He didn't avoid the company of people. He didn't avoid being given things from people who were walking with him. He didn't avoid any of that. He's not saying that, but he's saying, where is your heart? Where is your focus? Life does not consist of, I wonder what the end of that sentence would be for you today. Jesus is talking about self-giving love. He's talking about surrender and sacrifice and submission. And as we do that, we'll be able to eliminate hurry from our lives. See, it's interesting in that passage in Luke 12, verse 16, there's a really interesting sentence there, because Jesus says to us, he reminds us where everything comes from. See, it was the ground that yielded the harvest. It wasn't the cleverness of the farmer. It wasn't the cleverness of this rich man. It was the ground that gave the harvest. See, it was God that gave this increase. It was God that gave the bounty for this particular person. Yet never once did he pause and say thank you. See, we think it's about us. And perhaps we need to change our perspective and understand where every good thing comes from. It comes from the hand of the Father to us. Don't worry about food or clothing, because your Heavenly Father knows what you need and he'll provide it for you. See, and this is where the solution lies as well. When we move to a place of simplicity, when our desire becomes discipline, and we can do something really important to keep our connection strong, to keep our soul healthy. And we do need to be honest. See, what Jesus is saying is that this is about stuff. This is about the things we have. You know, I always think it would be great if fasting wasn't about giving up food. Maybe I could fast from television or fast from something else. But, you know, when you read the Gospels, fasting is about food. And I think when it comes to simplicity and we hear what Jesus has to say, I think we have to hear that this is probably about stuff, about things that we have. I mean, of course we need simpler schedules and we need simpler attitudes, and perhaps some of us need simpler relationships. And we do need margins when we set them in all those areas of our lives. But simplicity is about stuff. Why? Because it so easily gets in the way of our relationship with God. How does it do that? How does this inanimate object, these things that we have, stop us from having this relationship with God? Hurry us beyond having time to be with God and space to connect with him? Well, I think stuff distracts our minds. It sabotages our focus. We start thinking about what we have rather than who we are in him. It drains our time. Stuff drains our time. You know, the trouble about stuff is we have to care about it. We have to look after it. We have to maintain it. We have to hoover around it. We have to wash it. We have to iron it. We have to repair it when it goes wrong. The day after the warranty has just expired, we have to insure it. We have to protect it. It's ours. It drains our time. And it also deceives our hearts. We've been warned how corrosive this is. Jesus says in Mark chapter 4, 19, in the parable of the sower, he says this about those who are choked by the worries of life. He says it's because of the deceitfulness of wealth and the desire for other things, and it chokes the word of God in us. So what can we do? Well, Luke chapter 12, verse 31, Jesus says, here's what you do. You seek first his kingdom. And then all these things will be given to you as well. Clothing, food, shelter, the basic necessities of life, he says. All these things will be given to you as well when you seek first the kingdom. When we know what to say yes to, the kingdom values, the kingdom living, then we'll be able to say no to what doesn't help us get there. Now, I know this is tough. I've preached to myself before I speak to anybody else. I know this is tough. But here's the call of Jesus to this unhurried life. The ruthless elimination of hurry means that we deal with some of those things that we're so attached to that, if we're honest, stop us from living the sort of life that Jesus calls us to. So how can I reorient my heart? How can I reorient my life, my soul? How can I do that? Well, here's a few tips to practice this discipline of simplicity. First, practice gratitude. Take a moment to say thank you to God for what you have. You know, too often we do take it for granted. But what is good about what I have? Not what I don't have, not what I long to have, not what somebody else has had. God, thank you for what I have. Practice gratitude. Secondly, take captive your thoughts as well. You know, what you think about shapes your reality. So be careful what you're thinking about in terms of more that you sometimes are eager for. Stop buying things. Wow. Stop buying things. Well, I just mean for a while. Break the cycle. Do you know, if you think you've got this habit of buying things, and I'm aware that during lockdown, that could have become more and more part of your life. On the radio just this week, there was a long discussion about people who just keep buying and buying and buying. They never even open the stuff. When it arrives, they just buy it. But perhaps for some time, set yourself a period of time when you'll stop buying what you don't need. Of course, buy the essentials. But stop buying. Maybe practice a one-in, one-out policy. You know, when you're buying something new, move something out rather than accumulate. Give something away that you don't need anymore. Let go of comparison as well. You know, comparison is the thief of joy. When we keep looking at what other people have got, it's tempting, isn't it? Of course it is. But it takes away our joy. Regularly invest in the lives of others. You know, when we regularly invest in the lives of others, it gives us some perspective about our own lives as well. So keep investing in the life of others. Remember what counts. And lastly, be content with what you have. I mean, this isn't an exhaustive list, of course, but maybe there's some things you can do. Practice gratitude. Take captive your thoughts. Stop buying things. Let go of comparison. Regularly invest in the lives of others. Be content with what you have. Because what you center your life on will determine what you will become. And here's something you can start today. Get a box, an empty box. One of those boxes where you've had something delivered recently. Or a bag. And put some things in it that are in your house that you don't use anymore. And then put that box away somewhere, in the garage or in the shed or in a cupboard somewhere, and for the next 6 months, leave it there. And if after 6 months you haven't had to go, oh, I need that thing, I'll go to that box, if you haven't had to do that, then maybe it's just time to get rid of it, sell it if you need to, give it away, or if it's that bad, throw it away. It's just part of a discipline to simplify our lives, to stop us hurrying in our desire for more. And maybe this practice and this habit could become a life change for us as we begin to see what God wants to do. Let's get rid of what's causing us to hurry. Let's build a life that is centered around Jesus and his kingdom values right now. There's nothing wrong with stuff. There's nothing wrong with possessions. Jesus has made that clear. But watch out. Be on your guard, Jesus says. That's his warning. And that's something that we can definitely do something about. Simplify. It isn't simple. But it is a stake in the ground that we can attach ourselves to that gives us stability and strength. And it says, Jesus, I surrender to you. I'm going to trust you more and more with my life. And I'm going to seek first the kingdom and trust you that everything else will be added to me as well. You know, Paul, when he was writing to his friend Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, right towards the end of this letter, he said this, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Our prayer during this Lent season is that you will take hold of life that is truly life. Silence and solitude, Sabbath, simplicity. Next week we're going to look at the discipline of slowing. And the whole purpose of this is that we might take hold of life that is truly life. The life Jesus wants to give to you, to me, to us all. May you find that in who he is and what he longs to do in your life. You know, Paul writing in to the Philippians, he talks about contentment. He says, I've found the contentment of life that I've been longing for. And it doesn't consist in things. It consists in a relationship. And at the end of this little passage, he says this, I can do all things. I can do this thing through Christ who gives me strength. Now, we use that verse in many different contexts, but, you know, Paul is using it in the context of contentment, of not getting anxious about other things, of not chasing after what we haven't got, but of contentment in Jesus. And he says, I can do this. I can be content because God gives me strength. And as we put into place these practices, it's in his strength that you'll be able to do it, and you'll be able to strengthen your relationship with Jesus and follow him truly. Let's pray together. Will you let him give you strength today? Strength to be the person he wants you to be. Strength to live the way he wants you to live. Strength to take hold of this life. This unhurried life that is centered firstly around him. You know, maybe you've been watching for a little while online, but you've never stepped across that line of faith, and you've sort of been interested in Jesus and what he's had to say, but you've never made that personal commitment to him. Can I say maybe today is the day to begin to find that strength that you know you need today to live this sort of life that Jesus has been talking about. Yeah, today you just need to say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. Why do you say that? Well, because he's given his life for you, to set you free, to forgive you of the sin that easily tangles us up, and say, Jesus, I'm going to live your way. Maybe today is your day. I give you my life, Jesus. Or maybe there's others of you who just want to recommit yourself. You know, this year has been an odd year, and maybe your relationship with Jesus has just cooled a bit. Maybe it feels a bit stale, and maybe today is the day when you say, Jesus, I'm going to give you back all that you've given to me, and I'm going to recommit myself to give you who I am and strive to be your follower. Live the sort of life I know you've called me to live. Jesus, I give you my life. Or maybe today there's others of you who just want to say, Jesus, I am going to live your way. Yeah, you've been living well. You've had a good relationship with him, but you just want to put a marker down, a stake down to say, Jesus, I'm going to live your way. I'm going to build in these practices, these disciplines, because I want a deeper, stronger relationship with you, and I want my life to flourish in the way you've called me to. I give you my life today. Father God, I pray that you will hear the cry of our hearts. For those who for the first time today have said, Jesus, I give you my life. Come, Holy Spirit, fill them with your presence. Empower them to live that life. For those of us who are just recommitting now at the end of this year to recommit ourselves to your call, to say, Jesus, here's my mark in the sand, here's my stake, I'm going to plant it today, and I'm going to desire you more than I have been doing. And others of you today who have just said, Jesus, yeah, I want my life to grow even more like you today. And I want your strength to help me to put into place those things that matter most. I give you my life. Hear the cry of our hearts. Thank you that when we commit ourselves to you, you fill us again with your love and your joy and your peace. May your power be in us and work through us as we seek to live your life and go at your pace, Jesus, to flourish, to be your witnesses. In your name, amen. Yeah, if you want to get in touch with us at all today, then please, please do. inquiry@newcastlebaptist.org.uk. We'd love to hear from you, and if we can help you take some next steps, we would love to do that as well. So please, please do get in touch with us, and we'll look forward to connecting with you as much as we can.